This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au and, of course, available on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's flagship news, current affairs and lifestyle program. An eclectic mix of local, national news, current affairs and lifestyle stories, all framed within a queer perspective. I'm Macca. Good morning. It's Saturday, the 16th of December. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay my respect to elders past and present. I'd also like to pay my respects and honour the elders from the diverse LGBTIQ communities who've worked tirelessly and diligently to promote the health, well-being and justice of our people, our families and our communities.
Welcome back to the country.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back and to engage with those wonderful people from Australian Border Farce.
And it's great to be back in the studio.
It is.
We both had a break last week.
We did. And it's nice to have a break. And again, thank you to Paul and Fiona. They did a great job last week. And
I think they've almost rendered us some superfluous, Macca.
Yeah, they won't get to do it again.
That's what I've heard.
And I listened in from Hong Kong, as you know, and was tweeting. And it's really, it does give you a different perspective when you're actually not here and you're not listening to a podcast. You're actually listening live and, yeah, you get a totally, you do. So I was a listener and I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it whilst I was looking out.
Did you listen on your podcast or streaming?
Streaming. And, you know, the internet in Hong Kong.
Do you have the app, by the way?
Yes, but I just listening at my laptop. It was just easier,
right?
Because the sound was better,
right?
But the internet in Hong Kong. Oh my God, how fast was it compared to, well, Australia? Not only do we have third world fuel.
Do you think they got some advice from our NBN company to construct that?
No, because it actually is fast and it works and it's cheap. And amazing. And, you know, using even the public Wi-Fi seems to be about four or five times as fast as the fastest, you know, connection here. Just extraordinary. But, yeah, looking out the window from my hotel room, what floor was it? 49th floor. One side was the mountain view up towards the peak and the other was the harbour. And
with high rise in between.
Yeah, sort of between the high. It was great, very smoggy.
I've never been to Hong Kong.
It's a fascinating. Everything happens at street level.
I've transited through, and is really quite spectacular to look at.
Yeah.
But I've never actually been there.
Yeah, so. Look, it's a fascinating place. Anyway, we'll talk a bit later about it. But yeah, I enjoy it. But listening as a listener was great. I enjoyed it.
So, Macca Bennelong, you reckon John Alexander's going to scrape over the line?
Either John hits the ball back over the net.
Will he, or
Christina Keneally jumps the net.
Will he do that on preferences?
I'm talking two-party preferred, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the fly in the ointment is the Australian Conservatives. And I don't know who they're preferencing. I don't know what the size of their vote is going to be, but it's going to be predominantly will be taken from the Liberals, I suspect. I don't know if Nun Nation standing a candidate. There's bound to be a whole list of ratbags.
Of course there will be.
Interestingly, it actually got some coverage in Hong Kong because of the large Chinese population. So it was actually covered in the South China Morning Post a couple of times. And I thought that was pretty significant, that an Australian by-election, and of course it was about, you know, the Chinese government and the Australian government, you know, Shanghai Sam, Dastyari.
Well, it's such a high-profile issue. I mean, at every level.
Oh, but of course, China wouldn't seek to influence any other government or anything. Of course they wouldn't. Yeah, right.
Well, the point is, Macca, is it the Chinese government or is it Chinese multinational businessmen?
Is there a difference?
Well, I think it is a question, though.
I don't think there's much of a difference, to be honest.
Really?
You don't get to be a successful businessman in China, in mainland China, unless you have a very good, close, fruitful relationship with the government. Simple as that. So, is there a difference? No.
Okay.
Does China seek to influence Australian politics? Of course they do. Did they say during the week that the US Congress signed a new bill that allows for American military ships to visit Taiwan? The Chinese government official in the US said, the moment that happens, we will take forceful action to retake Taiwan. But, of course, they don't seek to influence. So, yes, it's a big story. It was a big story. I was quite amazed. The South China Morning Post is a pretty good newspaper. I thought it would be like most of the papers.
Didn't hear the muck come out? I mean, there was always stories about Alexander and some, you know, sexist comments that he made back in his 20s.
No.
There was most recent story about him not declaring income from property. I think it was earning about $1,400 a day from a country estate.
I read that in the Australian media. No, it was about, it had a purely Chinese perspective and, you know, the large number of Chinese voters in Bennelong, the Australian government's attitude.
To Chinese?
Yes. But the South China Morning Post, I was actually quite surprised because I thought that it would be a bit of a sanitised version, but it wasn't. It was pretty tough. It was pretty hard. I'm sure in Beijing they wouldn't have liked it.
Hmm.
But then again, a couple of years they'll close that one down too.
Hmm. So, Macca, in the last week, the other, of course, big news item is this meningococcal thing has reared its head.
I hadn't heard meningococcal for years.
I have because I have a friend that actually had a viral meningococcal infection and was quite sick in hospital for a while. But a viral meningococcal infection is better than a bacterial meningococcal infection. They are much more difficult to treat and often result in ongoing impairment.
We can get a jab for free now.
And can make you very seriously ill and you can die from it. But, of course, for some reason, there is a little outbreak of meningococcal disease amongst men who have sex with men. Now, you know, I mean, it's just constant, isn't it?
Well, you know.
I mean, we had that odd thing with hepatitis C just recently. Now we've got meningococcal. You know, what next?
Oh, no, what would you like?
The message is, if you are a man who has sex with men, consider going to your doctor and having a discussion with him about getting access to a state government-funded meningococcal vaccine.
Am I right? I think Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, it's a special...
I think there's a range of...
incentives and... Not incentives, but...
It's free.
I made an appointment at my doctor to...
Through all GPs. Talk to your GP.
To get a free jab.
There you go. So the other thing that happened, Macca, which we haven't talked about...
Haven't we?
So, you know, there's the Royal Commission into Institutionalised Child Sexual Abuse.
Now, I thought that was interesting, you know, the Catholic Church didn't need to go to preferences. They got 61.4%.
You've been saving up that line.
Well, it's a pretty, they've won that race.
Yeah.
An appalling race to win, but they've won that race. 61.4%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Franchise leader.
So they released their report yesterday, 189 recommendations in preparation for this morning's show. Over breakfast this morning, I actually pulled up a copy of the report. Of course, it's I think it's 17 volumes.
Yeah.
I decided to go straight to the volume with the recommendations, 189 recommendations.
The executive summary.
No, I went to the recommendations, not even the executive summary.
The John and Jill, as it's called in Yes Minister.
And the recommendations volume is actually 45 pages long.
God.
And the recommendations are not like a bullet point. They are sometimes a page long, so there might be a bullet point with, like, you know, a drop down of 8 or 9 or 10 sort of qualifying components. So after about skimming through about a half a dozen or so pages, I got a bit overwhelmed. Yeah. And I thought, no, I need to focus on Saturday Magazine, not on the Royal Commission this morning. But I would actually like to bring somebody in to talk about this.
Yes, I think so. And, you know,
I don't know who. We'll do some work on
that. Let's place on the record that Julia Gillard instituted this, had the courage to do this, despite some opposition within her government at the time, but did this and funded it, and the current government did give it an extension. This is a hugely important piece of work, rivaling what the Irish did as well. It will take a long time, obviously, for government to digest the report.
Well, they've been given 6 months to actually provide their response to the recommendations.
But the important thing here is this will define how Australia treats its children and looks after its children.
I think
the institutions that are entrusted with that care.
I think that's right.
And that have abused that trust consistently, comprehensively, for decades, if not centuries.
I think that's absolutely right.
This
I
is
think
a line that's in the sand. Right. This is a line in the sand.
There has been some mixed responses to the Irish model. So the Irish conducted a similar commission on which this was modelled.
Yes.
It was delivered 10 years ago. It took 9 years to do that piece of work. Our commission was hastened at 5 years. And there are some mixed reactions to the implementation of those recommendations. So hopefully what we need to do is to hold our governments to account. And I say governments because this is going to impact on federal government and state government and, of course, future governments. It's not just the government of today. There will be recommendations in this that will require future governments to have a good hard look at, you know, existing legislation, existing regulations, and continue to tweak those and amend those to protect children.
It's really, really simple. Government and the institutions, you need to fucking fix it.
Whoa, language maker. You can't
Simple.
Say that on air.
I just did. You need to fucking fix it, right? Too long. Too many people. Too many children. It's criminal activity. It's immoral activity. It is a breach of trust. We've spent tens of millions of dollars for this. Yes, take the time to digest it and look at the recommendations. But this is not an optional question in terms of how you deal with it. You must fix it.
Mecca, the other landmark thing that occurred that went largely unnoticed. So 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks or was it a week ago? It was last week, actually, wasn't it, when marriage equality finally became law?
Yes.
Was it last week or two weeks ago? 10 days ago, there you go.
The tears have just dried.
So Thursday we had the final vote. Friday morning the PM went and saw the governor, got royal assent.
And, you know,
it took instant impact.
One of the pens. One of the pens that the Governor General signed the bill with, giving royal assent, I actually asked Senator Brandis if the Gay and Lesbian Archives could have one of the pens.
Oh, right, wow.
Hopefully, because they basically, you know, they use a few pens. It's a bit like Donald Trump, you know, he signs his signature, which looks like, you know, some ants walked on a stamp pad. But you know, they sign it with about 28 pens. But interestingly, the Governor-General, on his own initiative, gave one of the pens, which interestingly are wooden timber pens made from trees or parts of trees that grow in the grounds of Government House. And I know you're...
Well, if they're wooden, of course, they'll be made of trees.
Tree, yeah. But he sent one of these pens, along with a personal note, to Senator Dean Smith, who's bill.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So, yeah, it got royal assent. It's had immediate effect.
Yeah,
so
that's
people
good.
That were married overseas are now have a legal Australian marriage.
Yeah, that's good.
But also, there's another impact which people perhaps haven't thought of. The family court very soon will hear the first same-sex marriage...
Divorce. So we asked for it, now we're equal.
That's right. It's the same as equality under Social Security. We asked for it, and it has a downside in some cases. But you know what?
There's more.
I woke up the next morning, and there were two things that were still happening. The sun still came up, and cows were still delivering
milk.
Yeah,
nothing changed.
So
nothing
all
changed.
Of those people who thought, you know...
Yeah, anyway, nothing changed.
Guess what? The milk... still coming out of the cow and the sun still comes up.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Macca, the other thing that went sort of almost unnoticed, certainly in my network, on that day, now, admittedly, that day I was in meetings from 8 a.m. right through till about 9:30 p.m. So I was glued to my phone watching, you know, what the news were and the bulletins as they came through.
Off.
Yeah, well, I couldn't, unfortunately, as a consultant. It's a bit hard to...
He's a consultant.
It's a bit hard to pick and choose the exact yes. hours that you do work sometimes. It's your clients drive some of that. I know, I'm sure some of our producer will agree with me on that. But the other bit of news that went through that day was that the Victorian Parliament passed legislation to enable voluntary assisted dying in yes. this state to take yes. place. There's about 18 months of a build-up time before that takes effect. There's a whole lot of policy work that needs to happen, a whole lot of training, a whole lot of bits and pieces. And I just want to put that on the table because that's actually a really important piece. It's a yes. landmark piece. It's the first in this country. And we can't ignore that. And hopefully it will set the pace for other state jurisdictions
yes,
to do the
so.
Same as well. And hopefully allow... Oh, so we don't have any news, so I can continue to
no,
ramble
we just need
then.
To make
great.
It. But you know the other piece of legislation, so the safe injecting rooms.
Yes, that's gone through as well.
So...
unamended.
You know, there's really... the reforms that we've seen in this state... on issues that are hugely important to people. And don't forget, you know, some of this legislation has gone through with cross-party support. It can't get through without that. So let's just acknowledge everyone that has allowed this to become law in Victoria, the voluntary assisted dying, the injecting rooms. But I want you to cast your mind back, Tess, to the first term of the Brax Labor government when the same-sex relationships bill was passed.
40. Oh, you're a sobbing emotional mess. You're at the back of Parliament smoking cigarettes, sucking on wine, crying, carrying on.
Well, I was
hugging
alone.
And kissing
I was
everybody.
Alone. Dick Wynne, the member for Richmond, and he was a bit teary too, and a few others. You were just a stoic old queen. But again, that's, you know, that was a landmark piece of legislation in our lives, just as the marriage equality has been. Some might say it's the last piece in the jigsaw puzzle. Unfortunately, the jigsaw puzzle keeps expanding. They've just added a new scene to it, and it's called religious freedoms.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's
yes.
going to be the next battle for next year.
Yes, yes.
At which Josh Frydenberg has committed he's going to come on and talk to us
good.
Regularly.
Good. I look forward to that.
Next year. On you, Josh. Good
I look
guy.
Forward to that.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.